All right. Good morning. You guys having fun yet? All right, I am. Man, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of wrecked right now.
Yeah.
Again. Lord, help me. It's really good. It's really good just to get undone by the Lord. It's really hard when you're the one with the microphone and you're undone. But I'll tell you, I want to talk about this season of thankfulness. Because I feel like it's a season of thankfulness in an atmosphere of testimony.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a season of thankfulness in an atmosphere of testimony. I was thinking as I'm sitting here just, and when I say wrecked and undone, I mean by the presence of Jesus. It comes inside of my being, and I don't know whether to weep, cry, burst, or whatever. I mean, there's not words to explain. Some people get it. Like, a lot of faces in here I'm looking at, they're like, yeah, I understand. It's so good, and there's a season of thankfulness and an atmosphere of testimony that's going to unleash such a goodness of God into your being.
Amen.
That you're going to feel that same way. It may not hit you on Sunday morning. It might hit you on Tuesday night or any time in between. And when I say hit you, I don't mean in a bad or an undone way. I just mean a wave of this incredible goodness of God to where you're like, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I did not know he could be this good. It started happening to me when we were singing that, you are good, good, oh, because 26 years ago now, I got undone for the very first time. And it's never stopped. It's never stopped. He's just that good. So I'm not going to preach this morning, okay? I'm going to share some stories. Is that all right? I'm going to share some testimonies. And if it's not you, it's for me. Because Tuesday before last, I was with these guys at UNC in our Adventures of the 70 meeting, and I'm sitting there, and we're going over the 5-step prayer model for gospel ministry and all this, and as we're going through it, I'm telling them these testimonies of the way God's used me, and I'm getting so surprised when I'm telling these testimonies. They're like, oh my gosh, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had almost forgotten that testimony. Oh wait, there's another one. I'd almost forgotten that testimony. And then a little, oh my gosh, what about this one? And they're like, what? And I'm like, I know, I can't even believe it either. And then as I'm with the Lord this week, I'm like, Lord, how easy I forget. Isn't that the story of the Bible, actually? The story of the Israelites throughout the Old Testament is they kept going through these seasons of miracles, signs, wonders, and then they'd cycle around to where gradually, little by little, they had forgotten.
Yeah.
Until God raises up a prophet or a judge or what, you know, and he reminds them who they are. And they come back around like, oh, isn't he good? And they're on cloud 9 again, and then they cycle back around and oh, how they've forgotten. And has anybody ever been on that merry-go-round? I tell you, there's an answer for that merry-go-round.
Yes.
And we're celebrating it on Thursday.
Come on.
I'm not big on holiday messages. Those are hard for me. But I love this one. This one's easy. Because I was listening to this podcast this week where this guy, Michael Miller, who was led into this thing called the Upper Room in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. He said, thankfulness is a small hinge on a big door.
Amen. Yes.
Thankfulness is a small hinge on a big door into the kingdom realm, into this unseen world that we are believing and receiving this morning. Thankfulness is that. Thanksgiving, a thankful heart, is that heart that receives by faith even when you don't feel it. And it takes you right in somewhere. Yeah. That place is into the heart of your Father. It's into his realm, into his world.
Yeah.
I would like to add to that. Thankfulness is a small hinge on the door that is testimony.
Amen.
Testimony ushers you right through.
Amen.
Oh, a couple of cool testimonies this week. There's three of them. Michael, and is my dad in here or he go out? Anyway, so I'll have to, because, and Deborah had one too. Michael, come on up here. So Deborah had a breakthrough this week. It's like a in life financial thing where she was on this, you know, Medicaid situation, and something the UNC charity system didn't want to pay. Anyway, the UNC system ended up taking it into court. So she was like a plaintiff in court, and they were going to the courts of heaven and praying and standing. She texted me day before yesterday to say, "Pastor, I just got a call. We won the case. The breakthrough's been had, not only for me, but for all the people like her who are caught in an in-between needing some coverage. Now, because of that court case, it's going to be covered." Yes. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Breakthrough in all areas of life. You know, I think we made a decree about something like that just a week before last. You know.
Awesome. Praise God. Yeah, I wanted to share a testimony from UNC this week. And really just want, as I'm sharing, I'm just believing that the Spirit of God would just release an impartation of breakthrough over us, that we would begin to see just corporately as a family, just breakthrough in different areas as we're hearing these testimonies. Especially if you've been in a difficult season like I have, testimonies are so powerful, you know. And I've actually been playing testimonies like from a podcast, like in my sleep, like for the past 2 nights. And it's just been like causing something so deep in me. And so I'm just believing that this testimony will stir your faith. But for those of you that are familiar, on Tuesdays, we're at the tent in the quad at UNC from 10 to 2. Well, this past Tuesday, we had a young girl from UNC named Casey come up. And
there she is.
Yeah. So she starts sharing with us that in 2017, she's a horse rider and loves taking care of horses, but she fell off of her horse, and apparently, like, the horse somehow stepped on her shoulder, and ever since that time, like, she's, like, dealt with, like, shoulder pain, like, flaring up on the side and her neck and all of that stuff. And so the day that she came to the tent, she was actually about to, like, email one of her professors and be like, "I can't come to class today, I'm in so much pain, and I just need to, like, go home and sleep." And Deborah and I, we were like, "Can we just pray for you?" And so we've gone through the 5-step prayer model in the Adventures of the 70. And one of the first things that we're taught is don't just, like, immediately pray, but, like, really interview the person and get a sense of, like, how did this happen? And so my first question to her was, you know, can you recall, like, what happened when your shoulder pain began to occur? And that's when she told us about the horse story and falling off of the horse. And so as we began to pray and minister to her, we really began to just address that particular time of trauma and just led her to a place of just releasing herself, forgiveness, and then just asked her from a scale of 1 to 10, like, what is your pain level right now? And it was probably at about a 6 or a 7 when we initially began to pray. And so we prayed once and just commanded healing over her shoulder, and just began to ask her to test it out. Can you, like, move it around and see what you can do that you couldn't do before? And her pain was probably at about a 4 after that. And so we kept praying. We prayed about 4 times. And after the 4th time, like, she began to rotate her shoulder. She took her backpack off and she was like, "Oh, wow, like, I can't feel any of the pain." And so that was just the release of the healing of God over her.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank God for her healing.
Yeah. Amen. Dad.
So, you know, last Sunday when Matt had the word about somebody here with some pain behind their eye, I thought, well, it's not behind my eye. You know, I took it a little bit too literal. Like, maybe it should be, but at the same time, you can claim any kind of healing, right? If somebody mentions something about the eye, in my case. And so about 2 years ago, I don't know how it happened, but I got a small hole in my cornea. And I spent I went to my ophthalmologist, and he, you know, put me on prescription for eye drops and stuff. And it basically, though, I don't know that it was eye drops, it kind of closed up. But last Sunday, I mentioned to Martha, I said, "Man, that eye is really burning and hurting today, and I can't get it to stop." And so I came on, of course, to church. And then Matt had that word, and I said, "I'll claim that. Even though it wasn't behind my eye, it was on my eye." I'll claim that. and it was gone. It healed up, and I haven't had any sense of pain.
Come
on.
Wow.
Has anybody else had any eye issues recently? Or shoulder? All right, good. I'm glad that you haven't.
Both of those.
Lord, get Chris right now. We claim him for his eye, his shoulder right now, God. Thank you, Lord, and my shoulder too. Thank you, Jesus. So, you see, when we thank Jesus, it's like we come there and walk in through at the foot of the cross through everything he's already made a way for. Thankfulness is literally a door. It's a gateway. And think about it. All of life in this natural realm is built to against thankfulness. Right? It's not natural to wake up in the morning and the first thought is, oh man, I'm just so happy about today. Or the first thoughts are usually a bombardment of negativity, of condemnation, whatever it is, of all this other stuff out there swirling, vying for our attention. And I was reading this verse in Colossians 3 this week. I wanted to show it to you. Colossians 3:15. Check this out. It says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body," Colossians 3:15. Is that back there, Evan? "For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful."
Amen.
Everybody say always.
Always.
"And always be thankful." I'm like, how is that possible? I'm going to share some good stories today, but I'm not going to share the things that I don't Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't Instagram when one of my kids is having a big old fit. I don't Instagram when I've yelled at Sarah and she's yelling back at me. Like, I don't take out my phone. Like, check this out, y'all. You know, like, no one. How do I always be thankful? Well, she said it well 2 weeks ago. God is always working behind the scenes. Always be thankful. And let the message, and I'll add to that. Go to the next slide there. And let the message also, and let the testimony about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Isn't that good? And here's what happened today. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Come on.
If you're a little unfamiliar, what just happened at the end there with Sarah was one of these spiritual songs. It's not planned. It's not rehearsed. It's not written down on paper. There's definitely not any words on the screen. But this is what he's saying. Teach and counsel each other. Sing hymns, spiritual songs to God. Why? With a thankful heart. With a thankful heart. I'd like to submit to you this morning that as you just even sing that spontaneous thanksgiving in the shower or on the way to work in the car or whatever it is, you're actually stepping through a doorway that takes you into the realm of his kingdom that releases all of heaven into your life.
Thank you,
why? Because you're thankful. Well, let's just take a minute and pause right now and just thank him. Can we do that? Oh, we just thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and say it even out of your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. God, we thank you that you've saved us, that you've redeemed us, that you've called us your own. We thank you that you've healed our bodies and provided for our finances, God. We thank you for a building to meet in, God. We thank you for your freedom. Lord, we thank you that we have family and friends, God. In all things, God, we're just thankful. We just thank you, God. We thank you and we worship you, Jesus. Because you are awesome. You're amazing, Jesus. We can never come to the end of our thankfulness for you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's the thing. We can't help but be thankful when we're surrounded by a thankful culture. When everyone around you is thanking God, acknowledging him as the source of everything, you can't help but be thankful. You can't. That's what he's talking about here. Sing psalms, hymns, teach one another. Tell your story. Tell your story of what God's done.
Amen.
I know the good and bad to some degree. You know, I feel like in these 26 years of following Jesus, I mean, I've seen him do amazing things, and I've had extreme disappointments that I wondered, where are you, God? But he's faithful.
That's right.
And we can thank him each and every day.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Be faithful.
Whew. Now, you combine that thankfulness again with those stories, with those words of your testimony. And what did John see in the heavenly realm in Revelation 12? Testimony combined with thankfulness,
yeah.
Or thankfulness combined with testimony. They're one, you know, they're a package deal. They kind of go together, because when you think about a testimony, man, it just, you clap, right? You can't help but be thankful. When you're thankful, you can't help but think about the testimonies. And of course, you may have heard this, but if not, in the Old Testament, literally in Hebrew, the word for testimony means do again. Do again, Lord.
Yes.
So we're thankful. Why? Because we remember.
Yeah.
We remember. Even in this season of thanksgiving, let us not become hard like the Israelites of the Old Testament, or maybe like we've done in the past, but let him continue to just flavor our hearts with the seasoning of his thanksgiving, the season of he who is faithful, who does it all for us. So this thing in Revelation 12, just as a reminder, you know, it's an allegory. John is seeing a vision in heaven, and he sees that Michael, the archangel, is fighting this dragon. Don't let that get swept up in that. It's not the point for right now. But here's what John says as he's seeing this battle, okay, in this vision. He says, "Then I heard a triumphant voice in heaven proclaiming." This is Revelation 12:10 in the Passion Translation. "Now salvation and power are set in place, and the kingdom reign of our God and the ruling authority of his anointed one are established. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who relentlessly accused them day and night before our God, has now been defeated." Cast down once and for all. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of years, even as a Christian, feeling that accusation. Feeling like, Matthew, you never measure up. You don't ever do it good enough. Yeah, you're in this cycle and you'll never get out of it. Those are the voices I heard in my heart. But the Bible says that accusation is not true. That accusation has been torn down. That accusation has been defeated. Now he's going to go on to illustrate how. How? They conquered. Everybody say conquered.
Conquered.
Here's the secret. If you're wondering, how do I get out of that cycle?
Yeah.
You conquer completely by the blood of the Lamb and by the powerful word of the testimony.
Come on. Good.
The blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. It's cleansed us of all of our sin, past, present, and future. Lord, we thank you that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The blood of Jesus has sprinkled our hearts. The Passover lamb has been shed for me. Lord, and we thank you for your blood.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And then the second part is what? The word of his testimony. The word of your testimony.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like I said, I had forgotten about these testimonies, and I want to tell you just a few of them. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can you guys handle story time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before I do that, I just came across my buddy Jonathan Helser just released a new song. It's actually a spontaneous, one of those spiritual songs. But came up on YouTube this morning. And here's some of the lyrics. He said, "I'm picking up my sword and I'm taking back my roar."
Yes.
"I'm picking up my sword and I'm taking back my roar. All that you died for, all that you rose for, Jesus, I want more." Come on, I'm taking up my sword. I'm picking up my sword. I'm taking back my roar. All that you died for, all that you rose for, Jesus, I want more.
Yes, God.
And I thought, that's testimony. What is that sword? What is that roar that comes out of us? It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the key to thankfulness in our hearts. And thankfulness opens that door and keeps it open in your life into the heavenly realm for all of his goodness. So, let me preface this testimony with a scripture in Acts 19. Paul's in Ephesus, and in verse 8, it says he would go into the synagogue and preach boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Here's the thing. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles.
Yes.
Everybody say unusual miracles.
Unusual miracles.
Here was certainly some of them. When handkerchiefs or aprons. Now, Paul was a tent maker. So most theologians would agree that it's not a handkerchief as in a hanky you blow your nose with. But it's like a tent maker's apron. In other words, they took what Paul worked with. What do you work with? Are you a teacher? Are you in the medical field? Are you an accountant? Are you a home at home? Whatever. Are you a student? Hey, take that what's in your hand. Like Moses. Remember he said, hey, Moses, what's in your hand? A staff, Lord. Throw it down on the ground and supernatural things happened. God is working things that you're doing naturally right now for unusual reasons. Unusual circumstances require unusual miracles. So when handkerchiefs or aprons from his tent making that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Here's one of the stories. Back in 2016, I think it was. I've totally forgotten about this. I was in Chapad, India with our team that's gone every year to do this this youth crusade. And, you know, for a few years now, I had been asked the Lord for words of knowledge to move in kingdom ministry and power. But I'd never had anything like this. I got words of knowledge, but never had anything like this happen because it came in a dream. And I'm not one of these big prophetic dream guys. Like there's people, some of you sitting here, you have like this dream from God, like every night, you know, godly jealousy I have in my heart towards you. I mean, I have that, some of that too, but that night, it was like the second night of the crusade. I'm in the room and I have this dream, and in the dream, I clearly see this like older teenage girl whose mother is back miles and miles away at a village near death. Okay. And I don't remember all the other surrounding details of the dream, but that will suffice. So the next morning in the morning session of the meeting, I just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out here. So I just told the dream. To my surprise, this girl comes running up to the front. She goes, that's me. My mother is back. She named the city for this crusade. It was at an orphanage, and kids had come from miles away on a bus or whatever to come, and they'd stay here. So she had been one of those, and she was here. She goes, my mother has got this, you know, terminal ill. I don't know exactly the details of it, but very sick. So I'm like in this crisis moment because, oh my gosh, I guess that was a real word. What do I do now, Lord? I'm just being transparent. So almost not knowing what else to do, I said, hey, give me that cloth right there. I don't know. We grabbed some cloth. We're going to pray over this. I want you to take it back to your mother and put it on her and pray the prayer of faith, believing God's going to do this miracle because he spoke the word. That's what's significant. It worked. That's all I can say. It's like, I always read this. Like, and honestly, I had forgotten that even happened until 2 weeks ago at Adventures of the 70. She took it back, and then the last night, she showed up for testimony and gave this testimony about how her mother had completely turned around and was head. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate it, but she was moving towards complete healing.
Yes.
And guess who was the most surprised person in the room? Moi! Like, what in the world? This stuff is real? Let me tell you another story. August of 2017, a little over 2 years ago. Some of you guys here remember this. So I got an email one day from a guy, again from India, no relation to where I had been, didn't know these people at all. A guy from India whose nephew worked for an American company and was sent to RTP on just a 10-day work assignment from India. While he was here, 40 years old, he had a massive stroke and had been taken by ambulance to UNC Hospital, where he was on life support. The doctor said, no chance of anything but a vegetative state for the remainder of his life. That's how bad the stroke was. And so the uncle had gotten online, he's a Christian, find every pastor in Chapel Hill that he could email. And it was a group email. So I actually knew some of the other pastors. He emailed every pastor. Is there anyone that believes in the power of God for healing? I'm looking for a pastor to go pray for my nephew. So, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else. I got this email. First thing I did is make sure this is legit. Because, you know, I called the hospital because he gave me the name and asked if this person was in the hospital. I found out he was. So I knew it was a legit email. So at that time, we had an Indian man in our church here. So I called him up and I said, hey, can you meet me at the hospital? I told him what was going on. I feel like this is ours. Like, we're supposed to go pray for this guy. Now, honestly, I'm saying that with trepidation. I'm like, God, this is a big deal, man. This guy, I don't even like to go into ICU. Like, it makes me nervous. Like, kind of a problem as a pastor when the hospital makes you nervous. But like, Lord, I feel like I'm supposed to go pray for this guy. So my Indian friend met me over at the hospital. We go in there. We go up to the ICU ward. We walk in the room. And across the room, what I found out was his sister, who's from New Jersey, lived in New Jersey, was here. Sister was on her knees praying. So I kind of tapped her on the shoulder and disturbed her. She startled. She said, I was just praying that God would send me two messengers. They, like, well, we're not angelic, but here we are. I don't think I'm an angel anyway. And so, you know, I'll never forget this. You know, like, you don't want to make a scene. I mean, maybe you do. I don't. I'm like praying this nice, like, Jesus, inviting the kingdom. I'm praying this prayer. Then my Indian friend starts praying, oh, Lord. And he's like, we command you, Raghu. His name is going by Raghu. We command you, you're going to rise up and walk out of this hospital. Gosh. Sorry, you know, like, I mean, he's getting real charismatic, real Pentecostal up in there. But, you know, and so, I mean, tubes, you know, nothing happening, nothing. So, you know, we prayed the prayer of faith. We believed God had sent us. We felt like we had the word, but we walked out of that hospital and nothing happened. 2 weeks later, I'm standing here, hallelujah, we're worshiping, praising. I turn around and right there where Dad and Mom are, our Raghu's sister, who we met in the hospital, his wife, who had just flown in, and their two kids from India. And they talk to me after the church. They're like, Pastor, you're never going to believe this. I'm like, try me out. They said, it's a miracle. Well, the doctors said they're impossible. Raghu is woken up. He's beginning to talk, and he even recognizes work people that were here in RTP that he had just met recently. That's how high his brain functioning is. He hasn't walked yet, but all we need now is for him to eat and walk. Guess who the most surprised person in the room is? Maybe them, but me too. I'm like, what? Like, oh my gosh, Jesus, can you do this? This is the God, this is the book of Acts. God, about 3 weeks after that, I get a text from her, from the wife, and she says, Pastor, thank you so much for standing in faith with us for my husband. We're boarding the plane today for India. Raghu walked out of the UNC ICU ward, completely healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's like, I say, I want you to be encouraged. That guy with rheumatoid arthritis that you prayed for. This is a great do it again, because I didn't see anything happen. So Isaiah, we had this amazing night of impartation on Tuesday on campus, and then he called me the other day. It's okay for me to share this, but just met this guy with rheumatoid arthritis, led through the, you know, praying, and that's the whole five-step prayer model, and then nothing seemed to exactly happen. Is that basically right? You know, and I was thinking about Ragu. I was thinking, that's all right.
Yeah.
You're not the healer anyway.
Amen.
We can't predict how these things happen, but we know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the covenant healer. He's also the covenant provider.
Yeah.
And about 20,000 other covenant things.
Yeah.
That he is. I'm just using the realm of healing because these are some of the things I've seen, because I want the testimony of what our God does.
Yes, come on.
To stir in your heart.
Yeah.
I don't care what you face.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I was married and divorced and as a young adult, but I've seen restoration. We just celebrated 20 years. I had a mental illness, maybe onset of schizophrenia. Jesus healed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen my best friend die. And God didn't resurrect him from the dead. But you know what he did do? He took his wife. He took Matt's children. And if they were standing here this morning, they're so gloriously healthy in his hands that you would never guess that something as traumatic as what happened to them happened. Isn't that true? That's what kind of a restoring, redeeming Father that we have. It's testimony after testimony. It can be applied in a million different ways.
That's right.
I've had a layoff, lost a job. Anybody ever had that happen? But who could tell a testimony of how God took that disappointment or even a betrayal or even something done wrong, and he is restoring all things.
Yes, come on.
How do we get, though? What if we're waiting? Thankfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't care if all I have to say thank you for is the air I'm breathing.
Amen.
I can't think of anything else
because
everything else is so bad. I'm just saying, if that's where you're at, or that's where you've been, thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive today.
Thank you, God.
That I'm breathing air. I thank you for oxygen today, Lord. Thank you that you've given me that. Find something in your heart to be thankful for.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to open a doorway, and that doorway becomes wider and wider and wider.
Yeah.
Till the next thing you know, you just see the kingdom.
Come on.
Because here's the thing. The key to staying in faith, I've learned, is to focus on what God is doing, not on what he's not doing.
Praise you, praise you.
What he's not doing is easy to say. See, it doesn't take a spiritual gift of discernment to see what God seems to not be doing. But what God is doing, keep your thankful eyes of faith on that. It'll open a door.
Oh, praise him.
I'll never forget my first word of knowledge for healing. Again, I had been stirred up. I felt full of faith, received impartation from people who had prayed for me. I'm like, Lord, I believe. And then the Lord would give me a word. I'd just hold it, you know, like, oh, God, I don't know what to do with that. And I was the associate pastor back in our church. And one Sunday morning, this is in about 2007, I think, I just got this word, neck. Like, you know, just, I don't know how I got it. I just felt neck. Like, okay, neck, God. You're wanting to heal neck. And then it got better or worse, however you want to say it. I got a number, and it was 1989.
Wow.
And I'm like, neck in 1989. Oh, gosh, what are you saying, Lord? And so I just kept praying, and I felt led by the Spirit. Somebody was in a car accident in 1989. They had a neck injury, a whiplash that had, you know, they had issues to this day. So, you know, I'm supposed to close the service out. So I get the microphone. I'm like, God bless you guys. I hope you have a great Sunday, a great week. Hey, by the way, I kind of sort of felt like I got this word. But, and I'm like trying to play it super safe. Okay, for me, not for them. And here's, I'm going to share it with you, but listen, if it's not you, it's okay. You guys have a blessed Sunday. I hope you go.
I caught
kind of got neck in 1989. Somebody, and then this boldness started rising me. Somebody here in 1989, you were in a car accident. You got whiplash and you've never recovered from that. But if it's nobody, you guys have a blessed day. Cindy Martinez, my friend, shot her hand up in the back of the room right about there. If it was this room, it wasn't. That was me. She came running up here. I'm like, it was? Are you sure? Like, who's the most surprised guy in the room? Whoa. Okay. So what do I do now, Lord? Okay. I think I'm supposed to lay hands on him. I mean, I'm just telling you what's going on in me. Like, I'm not super like bold and confident. I mean, before I even got into her head, she told me later that it felt like a 220 volt of electricity went through her spine.
Wow.
She got up completely healed.
Wow.
What? So then after these things started happening, then about a year later, backs. Lord wanted to heal backs. If it was in this room, it would have been over here. Seven people lined up with back injuries. And I would just say, release, release. Through the word of knowledge and what I call the heavenly chiropractor. Okay, because have you ever done that thing where you measure somebody's legs? And when I was growing up, it's like you want to see their leg grow out.
Yeah.
That's a little evangelistic reporting there. It's not actually like your leg growing out. It's a shift because when you're, I've been this way. When you're out of alignment, your legs are not the same length or your arms. Anyway, whatever the case is, it's a miracle. So I'm just like, release, release, pop, pop, pop. All seven backs. Dang it, man, I'm completely, yeah, I feel good as new. I'm like, you do? Like, really? I'm not saying that to him, but I'm thinking. So then that led me on this journey of how good God is.
Amen.
Like how powerful Jesus is to this day. And I started to lay awake on my bed at night, daydreaming. And here's what the daydreams were. Well, if God can do that.
Yeah.
What else could God do?
Come on.
Like, if God wanted to use little old me, I didn't feel like anybody's special, great man of faith and power. I've been through cycles, you know, struggles with various sin or whatever it is. And God used me. I'm like, God, thank you. And then I started reading through, like, the last 100 years of church history. And I'd read about a lady named, like, Catherine Coleman and Will, this guy named William Branham and This one-eyed black man, William Seymour at Azusa Street. And I mean, men, women, black, white, brown. I mean, it was amazing. And here's what I discovered. The book of Acts wasn't the pinnacle.
That's right.
And then we're getting less power from here going down.
Right.
It's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
In the 20th century, the greater works have happened. In the 21st century, you mull around online long enough, you're going to see that God still raises the dead.
Yeah.
Like there are unusual and remarkable things happening.
Come on.
Yeah.
Again, you're like, well, that's not my gifting. Hey, listen, I'm not just talking about healing.
That's right.
I'm talking about in any area,
that's right.
Christ lives in you, and that means the authority of God.
Yes.
To bring the government of God into a situation
that's right.
exists in you if.
Amen.
If what? What's the only prerequisite?
We believe.
You believe. Amen. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
That's all he did. But here's the thing. Before Abraham ever did anything, before he had a chance to have Isaac, or sacrifice, you know, almost sacrifice Isaac. Before he did anything, he was made righteous.
Yeah.
It wasn't by works. Of course, that's the gospel that we know, that we're familiar with. It's easy for us to receive that often for salvation. But when it comes to this other stuff,
wow.
The Bible calls them the grace gifts.
Come on.
The charisma in the Greek. When it comes to that, we feel like we need to qualify. Like there's a prerequisite class or like there's some, you know, ordination or there's something that we need to achieve to. At least we got to pray and fast enough. Right? And I realize, no, prayer and fasting is awesome. I'd recommend it. But it's a tool.
Yeah.
It's not a qualification mark.
That's right.
In fact, the more you see God use you, the more you want to pray and fast. I had the season of fasting one time. I'm like, Lord, just tell me when to eat. Because this is amazing. Like, I'm seeing things in the kingdom realm. Like, I didn't ever realize that fasting was such a powerful tool.
Yeah.
You know? You got time for a couple more?
Yeah, keep going.
So this lady, Tonda, she walked into one of our Wednesday breakthrough services. And this was a special service because dear friends of my in-laws, Chuck and Jan, a guy named Barry Morley, whom Camp Morley, our youth camp, is named after. Loved young people, was a girls' soccer coach, awesome guy. He contracted cancer. Serious stage 4 cancer. And so we gathered this one Wednesday night and we had seen God breaking out, doing so many amazing things. And so we had gathered to pray for Barry Morley, knowing with certainty, believing God, that the cancer would be destroyed and his body would be healed. So as we gathered that Wednesday to pray, this other lady, I guess, had caught wind that, I don't know, we were having these meetings. I'd never seen her before, and she came, and she testified later. She said that when she got out of her car that night, that the Holy Spirit just said, "This is your night." So, all right, this is my night. And so she comes into the meeting, and what happened with her is the next week she was due to have surgery because a recent PET scan had showed clusters of tumors all over her abdomen. From like here to here, just clusters of tumors, stage 4, given a very short time to live. And so, you know, I'm sure even though she didn't know anybody, desperate measures, right? And so she came in, and so we're all there to pray for Barry. And she gets prayer by a small group of people. Unexplainably, I don't have the answers for this. Within a few weeks, Barry Morley passed away. Went on to be with Jesus. Tonda Brooks went back the next week for surgery. They went to open her up. They could find no tumors. They could find no cancer. They could find nothing that was there before. Unexplainably. Unusual miracles. I saw a post from her a few weeks ago on Facebook. Tonda Brooks, that was about 13 years ago now. She's still alive.
Yeah. Doing great.
Doing great. I'm like, "Lord, how can this be?" He said, "You remember John?" I'm like, "Yeah, I remember John. Lover boy, you know, put his head on Jesus' chest, wrote all about love in 1 John. The book of Revelation came to John. He was in the inner three with Jesus, James and his brother John. They were bros. And then Peter. Those were the kind of the inner three with Jesus. Really substantial guy. Well, in Acts 15 or 16, Herod arrests John's brother James and executes him. Okay? And then it says that seeing that it pleased the people so well, who didn't like these Christians, to execute James, he arrested Peter with the intention of after Passover, he's going to do the same thing to Peter. Well, so the church gathers in this house meeting to pray. They're praying for Peter, and guess what happens? An angel shows up over at Peter's jail cell. He thought he was in a trance or a vision. He didn't realize until after the fact it was really happening. Broke his chains off, broke the prison door open. He shows up at the door of the prayer meeting. Knock, knock, knock. And one of the teenage girls or something, Rhoda, yes, they're kind of, she comes to the door and is like, "Huh? It's Peter." She runs back. "Hey, guys. Peter's at the door." "What are you talking about? Peter's in prison. Don't you know we're praying for him?" They're like, "Yeah, and he's at the door. God answered your prayers. Oh, ye of little faith." They're like, "Well, it must be his angel." Peter was literally broken out of jail. That's a great and a glorious miracle and story. But here's what struck me through Barry's death and through some other deaths that I've suffered through. But if I'm John, I got questions.
Yeah.
Like, "Lord, how come my brother had to die? But then you sovereignly rescue Peter out of prison and he doesn't." Like, what is that all about? I don't know. I don't know, but here's what I do know. Number one, obviously John and the rest of the first century disciples had a perspective on these things that maybe I've missed, that we've missed somehow in our Western culture. In fact, when they get whipped or beaten for Jesus, they go out rejoicing. They'd be like, "We were counted worthy to suffer. Oh, thank you, God." Man, if my car breaks down, I got major issues with the Lord. Like, I'm like, God, why this trial and tribulations? Do you still love me? But they had some different perspective. And number two, they had learned and settled in their heart that I'm going to learn to live with mystery.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn, I know this, that I can trust my Father.
That's right.
That I can trust God even when I don't understand.
Right.
Had this guy walk into the tent a couple weeks ago. Well, I got real issues with what you're doing out here. I'm like, really? I'm sorry. What are your issues? He's like, well, I believe in Jesus, but I just don't understand why you're doing this. And I'm like, well, what do you mean, man? I mean, we're just loving. It's just the love of Jesus. He's like, well, but what if you pray for people and they don't get healed? Can you guarantee 100% everybody's going to get healed? I'm like, no, I've never guaranteed anyone 100%. He's like, well, I just think it's setting them up to be disillusioned. And I'm like, well, let me ask you a question. Do you share the good news of salvation with people that they would come to believe in Jesus? Of course. Does everyone you share it with get saved and born again? No. Well, then I got problems with you. You're setting them up to be disillusioned. Like, just because you preach the message, the Bible's clear, not all are going to receive it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not my job to heal. I can't heal anyone.
That's right.
It's my job to believe that Jesus died so that we could go free, body, soul, and spirit.
Come on.
And that if I will believe, I will lay my hands on the sick, like the Great Commission says in Mark 16, and they will recover. Might recover, that's how I've usually thought of it. Like, that's my belief level. I'll lay my hands on the sick, and there's like a 30-70 they'll recover. Or maybe less. But here's what I've discovered. The more I step out in faith, the more I step out in love, the higher the percentages go.
Yeah.
When I prayed for nobody who was sick, guess how many got healed? 0%. Percentages only go up from there. At MCA, our school that Chuck and Janet started and operated for over 15 years, there was an eighth grade girl. I don't know what it is about horses, but she fell off her horse and had been mostly deaf. I think it was her right ear. We prayed for her in a chapel service and her ear popped open. She was completely healed. Back when we, right after the summer after we moved here, we did an Adventures of the 70 like thing with a small group of guys. And went to Asheville to be a part of this worship in Pritchard Park in downtown Asheville. And I'm talking to this guy who I found out is a believer. He's homeless. His name's Barry. He's about 60-something years old, I think 68. And he's almost completely, as I'm talking to him, he's sitting here and I'm sitting here. And I figure out he can't quite hear me. So he's moving his head. So I just naturally, in the course of conversation, like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, when I was 8 years old, this is 60 years ago. When I was 8 years old, our family doctor, ruptured his eardrum. And he had been mostly deaf in his right ear for 60 years. We had been chatting about our favorite Bible verses. And, you know, he's a believer. I'm like, Barry, you know how Jesus talks about this thing of forgiveness? He goes, yeah. I was like, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, forgiven that doctor? He goes, you know, I never really even thought about it. It's not like I've been holding anything against him, but I was like, I tell you what, let's just try this. You pray this prayer of forgiveness with me and let's see what happens. He's like, yeah, that's cool. Let's do it. So I literally just pray after me. Dear Jesus, I forgive Dr. So-and-so, pray a simple prayer. I was like, now watch this, Barry. Holy Spirit, boom. About 5 seconds later, his ear popped open. He was like, I can't believe this. Again, I wasn't as shocked as that first word of knowledge or that time in India, but I was still blown away that Jesus still possesses for those who believe and walk in that open heaven of thankfulness and testimony. This is what God's done. I'm just one guy just being honest. And saying this is what God's done. And again, I'm not posting those not so glamorous moments. I can tell you a whole nother list of stories of people I prayed for and they didn't get healed or something didn't go right. But I'm not going to sit back and focus on what God's not doing. I'm going to focus on what God has done. And I believe that things will just continue to grow because Jesus said that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's like a small little seed, like a granule, that little by little it begins to grow. And that was a parable for the greater application of the kingdom, but it's also a parable in our lives. It's what thankfulness does, is it's the sunlight and the water for that seed. In other words, it fertilizes the soil of your heart so that those nutrients get to that seed and it can take root and grow. And before you know it, you're that person that you've just wondered at. Like, how in the world are they doing what they're doing? Again, I'm not talking about healing. However you may, whatever expression of the kingdom it is, because you're not me, I'm not you, nobody is your great, you know, your favorite preacher or podcast person or whatever in the Christian world. Don't try to be them. Be the greatest you that Jesus is in you. Let this thing rise up. How? Thankfulness. Gratefulness. The word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb over our hearts. Why don't you guys stand with me? I need to cut story time off there before I get into the next one and we go till about 12:30. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the power that you have in your love. God, we know that it's not anything in and of ourselves, but it's because, like John wrote, you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in you would not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. And you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved.
Yeah.
You are the gate, Lord. You are the gateway that we can walk through. And this morning, God, I pray that you would fertilize the seeds of thanksgiving in our heart.
Thanks.
Not just the holiday, but it's a good reminder, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for the holiday.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you for those men and women a long time ago that says, you know what? We need a national holiday to recognize what God has done.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that.
Amen.
We pray that that would just be a wonderful thing in our nation this week. But we pray that those seeds of thankfulness would grow.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would remind everybody in here of the stories of what you've done. Lord, of how you've broken through, of how you saved them, of how you've used them, of how you've ministered to their family, of how you've given them financial breakthroughs. Lord, how you've done all these things, God, it's only by you.
Yes.
We just look to you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. If anybody needs healing, today's a good day to pray, I think.
Amen.
I did feel like somebody hurt their hand. That's all I got is hand. That's the only one I got. If that happens to be you, come up here and you guys be blessed. Have a fantastic week. Celebrate friends and family. Love you so much. Amen.